Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's a reason, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble! Big wins for Aston Villa and Arsenal and a superb match at Leeds. It's Monday, 7th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Lassie Watson.
And I'm the Dushan Hunter Raja.
All right, everybody. My goodness, it's Monday once again, and what a weekend of action we had. Before we get to that, we've got important news. Tomorrow, Tuesday, as it's otherwise known as, we are releasing the first of three episodes for our new one-off series called Inside the Qatar World Cup. Our very own Kate Mason travelled to Qatar in September to find out how this tournament has impacted real people's lives. She's spoken to a huge range of people that you won't hear anywhere else, including human rights activists, stadium workers, the only Qatari to come out as gay, members of Qatar's women's national team, and many, many more. It's an essential listen, I'm sure you'll agree, before this World Cup, of course. So listen to the trailer released yesterday and listen to the episode tomorrow, which is episode one, of course, out right here on the Football Ramble feed. A very important piece and a very interesting piece as well. All right, everybody, let's get to that juicy action that we had on the weekend. Jim, your highlight of the weekend.
There were a lot of highlights for me, for obvious reasons, but we're going to come on to those. So I'm going to pick one from the post-match from the Chelsea-Arsenal game. Scott Parker was a pundit, and Scott Parker has long reminded me of someone or something, and I've not been quite sure what it is, and I've realised that he's a square Redknapp.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? He's just like a... Well, it just is what it is. He's a square Redknapp.
You mean in sort of vibe? Me of.
No, no, in terms of his head's very square and he's got a sort of Redknappy vibe.
Okay. Harry or Jamie?
Just a Redknapp. Just one of them. I'm sure there's more.
Yeah, there would be, wouldn't there?
Jamie's got a brother, isn't
Sandra?
He?
Sandra?
Yeah, maybe. She, you know, she's contributing to the DNA.
What was the dog's name?
I don't know. I've no idea.
Okay.
Didn't the dog have email? Or my
no, no, that's right.
Two
yeah.
stories.
Yeah, but we should probably
had a bank account.
All right. Yeah. So Scott Parker reminds you of a
he's a square Redknapp. Yeah. Okay. You know, it simply is what it is.
It is what it is. Lars, can you better that?
Almost certainly not. But yeah, this is a bad highlight of the week, but it's just Leeds, Bournemouth. I know we'll get to it, but I just love games there of like
7 goals.
What is going on here? Like this has gone completely round the bend. This is totally nonsense. And I don't want to preempt that segment of the show. We'll get to it, but that was just, you know, it was a great advert for the Premier League, wasn't it?
I don't think anyone's going to argue with that as your highlight, because I'm sure that was a highlight for a lot of people, including Leeds fans.
And Victor Orta, not to mention, it was a big highlight for him.
There you go.
I also can I just also slip in Unai Emery's tactical instructions on the sideline. I think we've been very short on managers who make mysterious gestures, possibly obscene gestures, in instructing his players. That is a genre of manager that I don't think like we currently have.
Mm-hmm. It was a sort of, well...
I don't know what we can say.
We can say everything, go with it.
Yes.
I refuse.
It was like, I implore you to.
It was like it was a double hand job.
Those are your words, Marcus Speller.
Yeah, but that's what it looked like. That's what you're saying, Lars. Yes. Eh? I thought you were a bit more scandalous.
Maybe that was like a thing they'd planned on when they do the long tactics meeting ahead of the game and they have the big blackboard or maybe even an iPad with like various diagrams and things you can do in certain match scenarios.
Yes.
And like at that minute, double wank.
Yeah. Or milk the cow. Maybe he's milking a cow.
Yeah.
Milk it, lads. Milk this. Yeah. We're winning. Milk. Come on. That's what it was.
Was he talking to his own team? Maybe he was just pointing to a couple of United players and going, "Oi, wankers."
That might be it.
If that was it, that would be brilliant. Oi, remember the Europa League final?
Maybe he was getting confused and to defend the lead, he asked for two wanks of four. I can't believe I've said that. It's not even 10 a.m. yet.
Yeah. How about
on
that?
On a Monday.
Vish, your highlight of the weekend.
My highlight is a lot cleaner than that, and it's cleaner because someone's lent me their jumper to clean it. It was the Wes Harding for Rotherham when he was about to take a long throw against Norwich City in their game on the weekend. Wanting a towel, couldn't find a towel. There was a couple of fans behind him, and they pointed to where the towel was, and he thought, oh, can't really go back and get it. So one of them took their jumper off and threw it to him, and he cleaned the ball with that and handed it back.
Yeah, neither of them behaved like it was in any way unusual.
No,
That's what I enjoyed about it.
But I kind of, it got me thinking, what item of clothing would you give up for the benefit of your own team?
Yeah, but then he
because I really like quite a lot of my jumpers.
Yeah,
I would think twice about that.
Yeah, presumably you chose all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'd rather take my trousers off.
Right. Yeah.
Because trousers are easier to dry as well because of the material, generally.
And the velour trousers that you wear would probably be quite handy.
Mm. Most of them just sort of come off anyway, don't they? You just pull them off in one motion.
I know, but yeah, it was weird how they both was a bit... But remember that thing we agreed?
Yeah.
Remember that thing? But I'd like that, though. The fan will have felt a part of it somewhat.
But yeah, generally.
In a way that no fan could ever feel a part of. Are genuinely a part of the action.
But you know, like when people who do long throws, they walk back to the advertising hoardings facing the crowd and like kind of compose themselves to prepare for the long throw.
Yeah.
Just the idea they might catch the guy, you know, someone in the crowd and they might like gesture to their jumper like, yeah?
Sets a precedent.
Yeah, and a glorious precedent.
And a glorious precedent.
You know who'd be really bad at it? Newcastle fans, because they always take their shirts off, don't they?
No, but they're ready.
Oh, that's true. Oh, they still have them, don't they?
Yeah. They just turn up like
discard
that.
Discard them. You're on the start of a marathon.
On the train there. Yeah. Well, wear a dressing gown. That would be very good if you really want to get in, if you really want to embrace this.
Oh, but look for the towel-y qualities of a dressing gown.
Exactly. My highlight of the weekend was, and I've been enjoying this very much, just seeing Youri Tielemans hitting a ball that's in the air. I'm reluctant to call it a volley. There was that debate about half volley and volley and so on. The ball's in the air. I think we can all agree on that. He can hit them.
And it stayed there.
Yes, he can hit them, which is no surprise. I mean, you remember that winning goal in the FA Cup final and so on. That was on the floor.
But there's a sense with Tielemans, though, that the ball seems to come to him like that so often. It's like, oh, go on then.
Is he
that?
But that's not. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Oh, no,
I would throw like Ruben Neves in there
looks
as well.
Like it.
Yeah,
Neves.
And I love that.
Can I say that Tielemans? Have we finally found a successor to Tony Yeboah?
It's really not a comparison I ever thought I'd.
Yeah,
I'd hear.
But in terms of volleys in the way he's hitting them and so on, I mean, come on,
very good.
I'll leave that out there, ladies and gentlemen. Show at footballramble.com. Let's go straight to that game at Elland Road. Leeds 4, Bournemouth 3. My goodness, a barn burner at Elland Road. Leeds, of course, were 3-1 down, booed off at halftime, came back to win 4-3, much to the delight of the home fans, proving the fickle nature of football fans is here to stay, Lars.
It was not so much a game of football as it was a Class A drug, Marcus.
It was incredible. What about Somerville scoring a late winner for Leeds in the second
week? If it was a barn burner, you wouldn't want to smell the smoke.
No, exactly. I thought you said Class A. But that breakaway.
I'm sure that burns too.
Yeah, well,
I haven't tried.
True enough, yeah. We remember
email
the,
in.
Well, we remember the BBC news report.
Yeah,
in
the
Afghanistan,
guy the Scottish standing guy. Next to the burning heroin. Yeah, yeah, that was a huge mistake.
And we don't condone that. But the reporting, fine, you know.
Yeah.
But Jim, that the winning goal, let's go straight there. The way they broke. Is that that's the last thing you need if you're a defender?
Yeah.
You had the lead 3-1. There's inevitability. The tide is turned against you, and you have what looked like two of the quickest players of all
him.
Time.
Just yeah. kick him.
It's astonishing. But it was. I mean, Bournemouth couldn't get near him, could they? It was like a sort of. It's like Moses parting the Black and Red Sea. It was incredible.
Mark over Moses. No, that was terrible.
What?
I was just trying to think of a
two wanks of four.
But yeah, it was a lovely finish again. And, you know, he's got a habit of this, isn't he? Like, I think he scored 3 goals this season. They've all been very, very late.
I should have said Mover Mars, shouldn't I? Mover Mars.
No, okay, it's, you know, right.
Irretrievable at this stage.
Yes.
But yes, Jim, sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's fine.
No, it wasn't fine. It wasn't fine.
Cocaine.
Stop. That's enough from you.
I mean, it capped a brilliant comeback, obviously, didn't it? But, I mean, was it even the best goal of the game?
Well, this is the thing. Are we going to forget Billing's goal and Solanke's goal?
I don't know, actually, because I think this is going to be one of those games where just you remember kind of all of it.
Can I just also be controversial and say, out of all the goals, I kind of think the Sam Greenwood one was the...
Oh! Gorgeous.
Because
yeah.
it was just the one you were least expecting. Like, I'm not totally baffled that Billings hit one or that sure. Solanke has done a back heel. Like, he's a forward. But, like, Sam Greenwood coming on, and I'll just put this in the top corner. Why not?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like,
one hit as well.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Very little time on it. Brilliant.
Also, the other thing I liked about the winner, it's very rare that you see a through ball played yes. in that area of the pitch when the move is happening at that speed.
Yes, you're right.
Like, incredible composer from Yotto to play that ball so well, and also, you know, send Theo Somerville to sort his feet out and bang it into the top corner. Yeah,
it was absolutely perfect. Yeah, the way it moved, the way the crowd, it was almost like a piece of music that perfectly kind of climaxes then crescendos down. You know, the way it kind of went, and so it was phenomenal. After the game, Jesse Marsh said, "I feel like we never have simple victories. I want to make things simple for us, but that's not the Leeds way." I hear. Well, you do have more of an influence.
Yeah,
than
that, you know. It feels like you're doing this on purpose.
But I mean, what did you think though? Because, you know, they were 3-1 down. Obviously, they have won the game, lest we forget. But they were 3-1 down, and Bournemouth missed some chances as well.
I mean, Meslier made a really important save at 2-1. I know it went to 3-1 anyway, but it's still massive given the context of the game.
Yeah, so I suppose my question is that how convincing is this in terms of Leeds and Jesse Marsh?
I think the crowd deserve a lot of credit for this because it feels like it happened in a completely different game, but... The noise for Rodrigo's penalty in the third minute was absurd to the extent it felt like a game that was happening in April in terms of like, right, we really, really, really need this. And also bear in mind that Bournemouth went 3-1 up after halftime.
Yeah.
So the turnaround would have happened, you know, on the pitch, you know, in the actual action itself. It's saying that Marsh does deserve credit because all his substitutions change something. Mm. And to put that much stock in those younger players who ended up delivering was, you know, an incredible thing to watch. Mm-hmm. But it did feel like he had an entire season's worth of up and down in one game.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy watching Leeds. There was a tweet the other day, I can't remember who this was from, but it was basically, if you don't mind Leeds winning or losing, they are the best team to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
And I believe that.
They were like that under Bielsa at times.
No, they were. But it's just...
I suppose that's what Marsh is saying.
Yeah, it's just carried through here.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like the big difference with Bielsa is that under Bielsa, they at least had periods where they controlled the game
a
little
bit.
Like they could put their foot on the ball and pass it around a bit. Whereas with Marsh, it's all chaos all the time.
But do you think,
I enjoy watching.
Yeah.
But like.
Would you think that's sustainable though?
No. Well, that was kind of what I'm getting towards is that like. He says it's kind of on him a little bit because like they are 100 miles an hour all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're probably, I think they are, if you look at the numbers, the hardest pressing team in the league. I also checked this. They're also the team in the league that have put in the most tackles. And they're the team that has had the most players dribbled past. So there's a lot of stuff going on in Leeds games in general.
It's not boring. I mean, by the end of the game, the Leeds first 11 had 11 that was on the pitch had an average age of just 22 years and and well, 22.9, I nearly said 9 months there, but that's not quite how that stat works. But yes, yeah, just nearly 23 years.
That massively comes into that as well, doesn't it? I think you might look at this, and if you've been slightly cynical, think, oh, you know, if they've conceded three goals at home to Bournemouth, you know, maybe they've got away one there, maybe it's a little bit lucky. But I think the youth of those players, it is a huge factor in that, because they're still figuring out who they are. He's still figuring out who they are. He's still figuring out how to get the best out of them in the various systems. And I think actually it's a really good thing for us that we get to see them work this out while they learn how to express themselves, learn who they are, and everyone has a really mad time.
Yeah, they very much do. Did you see
after they are 12th, by the way.
They are.
He's easy to forget this.
Yeah, I mean, they look like, we said recently, we're all kind of still figuring out who they are and what sort of team they're going to be this season. So
more of this.
Putting a run together like this, a couple of wins on the bounce is not insignificant.
Let's hope they never figure it out, Jim, for the sake of the neutral. But after the game, see this, Leeds director of football Victor Orta was filmed shouting "Sack the board."
Yeah, because even in the stands, it's absolutely mad.
Well, I should say that this was in response to the Leeds fans singing that during the game. So he was. Now that's a bit of a ballsy thing to do, but I suppose after that kind of victory, you can they will presumably see the funny side of that.
I don't think they will. I don't think they will. If you look at the comments on the video, they have not.
I see. Well, could that be the neutrals getting in the way?
So yeah,
we often talk up the neutrals, don't we, as if we're innocent bystanders. Sometimes they can be buggers as well. So what about Bournemouth, though? I mean, they let a two-goal lead slip for the second week in a row, which apparently is a Premier League first. Gary O'Neill said after the game, you can't walk away from the game with no points having played like that. It's unacceptable.
I'm not saying they've been lucky to get the points they have, but if they keep playing like they have, they're probably going to get fewer points. They're conceding a lot of chances and creating not that much.
They've lost four on the spin, and they have conceded the most goals in the league. They've got goals in the team, as they prove, but it's just at the back, you know.
Yeah, they're not always for Bournemouth. That's the problem.
Not always, Jim. They need to take a leaf out of Arsenal's book, don't they? And you could argue that every team in the league does, because Arsenal are top of the blooming Premier League, Jim. They beat Chelsea 1-0 at Stamford Bridge. Jim, I know that it's talk of the title, so it's early days, but do answer me this. If Arsenal win the league, they'll have a title parade and so on. Where are you going to be? Where's your spot? Where's your vantage point?
That's a really good point. It's not entered my mind at any point.
And now it
but
has.
I have to think about it. I just probably wander around.
It's very arrogant of you. Very arrogant of you to think that Arsenal got this. But anyway, they are top of the league with a massive win at Stamford Bridge. Vish, you said on Friday that this is, or perhaps you agreed with Jim, but certainly there was a feeling that this is their biggest test of the season so far. And my goodness, they came through it.
They did, yeah. It is rare to watch a team use their youth to such good effect in a big game, because
other than Leeds United,
I know what you mean. If you look at kind of Chelsea's team, there were like seasoned vets in there, and they were just so off the pace. I suppose it carries over into the difference in the age profiles of the squads. But like, I was just so impressed. I wouldn't even say Arsenal were that spectacular, but every now and again they would just shift the ball so quickly.
Yeah.
And it felt like Chelsea were chasing shadows to a point.
Well, it was, yeah.
And it was the most surprising because, you know, we also spoke on Friday about the idea that at some point they're going to feel hunted. And the way Man City won that game on Saturday, I kind of felt like, oh God, is this, maybe this will be the trip up.
Yeah.
And obviously it wasn't. Arsenal controlled that game from start to finish. And it's a little bit like, I don't know if, I mean, I'm not a massive golf fan, but people say about young golfers is that they never putt better or never more optimistic with their putting than at the start, because they haven't lost. Mm-hmm. They haven't lost, a lot of money or a big placing or making the cut on one putt. And that feels like what this Arsenal team are going through now. There seems to be like, and I know like a lot of these players like Jesus and Zinchenko have been part of bigger teams before, but something about it feels a bit like, ah, fuck it, why not? Even Xhaka, the way he was at the end of the game.
I think it's a fair comparison. I mean, Jim, it was a very mature performance, as Vish is sort of tapping into it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they looked like the protagonists in the game. They looked like the senior side in terms of experience, and they controlled the game very well, as you said, all over the pitch, but I think predominantly in the middle with Partey and Xhaka, just essentially in charge, really. And Chelsea looked a bit more disjointed than I expected them to be. They seemed to have kind of They look more like Graham Potter has just taken over than they did when he did just take over. Does that make sense?
Well, the new manager bounce clearly was a thing for them.
Yeah, it must have been, because it looks like they're not quite sure what the system is. I mean, it's...
They are bouncing no more.
They didn't really threaten much in the kind of final third of the pitch. No. Aubameyang had 8 touches, and he was obviously hooked off after the goal, was very satisfying.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
If I may be slightly immature for a moment.
It was like they put a coat over his head and snuck him out of the building.
Yeah, very much. Did you see Gabriel tweeted after the game? Nothing personal. London is red.
He
not
did.
North London, London. Possibly in response to Aubameyang's
possibly,
chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that BT sport.
Another enjoyable bit was Granit Xhaka's maturity in just calmly accepting that Cucurella cuddle that enabled the goal.
That was
really
extraordinary.
It was
as if like one said to the other, if you stand still, I'll stand still, okay? Let's just call an amnesty on this whole
thing. I'm going to take you out of the game. Yeah, but I'm taking you out of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, well, really odd.
You haven't seen Gabriel nipping in, have you?
Who's really in control here?
Well, the travelling Arsenal fans were absolutely loving it. And speaking of Xhaka, he said after the game, look at that atmosphere. It's effing unbelievable.
He did.
And it was, Lars, the vibe at Arsenal at the moment.
It's very good.
It is extremely good. This is you know, beyond Wales 2016, dare I say England 2018.
It's not a comparison I was going to make.
The vibe is so good. When was the last time they released like a new fancy kit?
They
don't need one.
We're due some Arsenal retro stuff on the back of this vibe.
Did you see Ben White dinking a ball onto Odegaard's head as they celebrated the goal?
Yeah, lovely.
And it's brilliant.
Uh-huh.
Just the execution of that.
I have to
shit housing his own captain.
I have to say, I love seeing Martin Odegaard, should I say.
Who doesn't?
Lars, because obviously, you know, the wonder kids and signed for Real Madrid, and we've seen players like that with such expectation on the shoulder at such a young age then actually go on to disappoint. We've seen them, obviously, in the obvious sense of Lionel Messi go on to be one of the best players in the world. But Odegaard, how do you pronounce Odegaard?
Odegaard. Martin Odegaard.
Big Martin.
He's quite small, of course.
Indeed, yeah. But in stature, in presence. But it's great to see him playing a big part in this Arsenal side.
Yeah, and he is just 23, but he's a very mature player. And the way he behaves, one thing, and the way he conducts himself on the field. So remember, he's played a lot of football already. Yeah. You know, he's been playing as a first team regular more or less since he was 15, even in Norway. Uh-huh. So I mean, for a young man, he's very, very experienced. He's played already in a bunch of different countries, and is a good captain for the Arsenal. I dare suggest. I'm going to flip this to Jim and just ask, what would you say like a percentage chance of Arsenal winning
the title?
Love that question.
No, but I'm really interested because I'm I keep an eye on the betting markets. You know, it's something I enjoy doing, and I'm kind of curious with where we are with Arsenal. So I'm wondering, just independently of all of that, where does Jim, noted Arsenal enjoyer Jim Campbell,
again? I don't want to be too immature, but it sometimes slips out.
If you say zero,
say
that
69%.
That's both immature and a wild shout at the same time.
Well, I think that there are so many ifs. That's the problem. You know, The World Cup is a great unknown. The problem is Arsenal will get injuries, and injuries to key players will affect them in a way that simply won't affect Man City. There's fatigue to come in at some point. They will have a bad run. It's just going to happen. I don't think that they are yet at a point where they'll be able to match City for an entire season. I think what would make that possible is if they make a couple of signings in January, but they need to be the type of signings you can only normally make in the summer. So I'm tempering my expectations, but I'm enjoying the hell out of it right now.
So how many percent?
69.
There we go. And what you need is a mercurial Colombian striker to come in and get you over the line, of course. quite enjoyable at one stage in the game. Alexander Zinchenko penalised for a foul throw where he accidentally dropped the ball when faking to take a throw in.
Brilliant.
Love that. But yes, Arsenal, of course, they were second for a moment, weren't they, after Man City beat Fulham. 10-man Manchester City.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I was a bit sort of like, Man City get the man sent off, and a crucial man at that, rightly sent off such an early stage in the game. And I was listening to it on the old wireless thinking, come on, Fulham, push this a bit more. I was like, okay, you take a point. I mean, a point on the road is generally quite good for any promoted side, especially if it's at the Champions. And then you look at the highlights back and you go, yeah, like, even with 10 men.
They're very good,
aren't
they?
What was it, like 71% percentage?
Yeah.
How did Fulham look like the team with 10 men?
I know, it's madness.
Did they buy one of your players at half-time?
They might have done.
But when the player who's missing is Cancelo, who, to my mind, plays at least 7 positions at least in every game,
spot on,
makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, and even with the penalty, Leno was so close to saving it. Ah, gutting. Gutting. It was interesting to see Haaland.
The Iceman cometh.
Saying that
the combine harvester of doom.
He is a bit.
Munch.
Is that what they call him in Norway?
that's just mentally, that's how I see him. He's like your big, bright blue combine harvester who just gobbles up all the chances.
Yeah, but he's like,
but jump.
Norwegian pronunciation. Just a scream, is it?
But he said he was a bit nervous before taking the penalty.
Yeah, no, I thought that was nice because he could have played it cool. And I was like, no, I am not nervous. And he was like, no, I was a bit nervous. You got to do it, yeah.
He scored 23 goals in 17 games, which is impressive for anybody, especially as it's his first season in this country. Mm. Paul Merson's not fully convinced, though. Recently said, everyone goes on about how great he is, yeah, and how powerful he is. Yeah, but if he's not getting the ball on a sixpence, he's not getting the ball. He would not score 60 goals in League Two. And I was a manager there with Walsall. He did manage Walsall, Paul Merson, in the Championship in League One.
it's a strange argument.
I love it, though, because, like,
Because you can't disprove it.
No, we can't. And we will never disprove this for obvious reasons. But I love it. Well, he wouldn't score 60 goals in League Two. Well, okay, maybe bring that tally. You know, if he said he wouldn't score maybe 20 goals in League Two, but because even if
I think Haaland, he would score 60 goals in League Two.
If Pete Lionel,
I honestly
Messi,
think so.
Yeah, but if Pete Lionel Messi played in League Two and ended the season with 60 goals, you wouldn't go, well, I thought,
well, why are you playing in League Two? This is weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, it would be because the conversation for Haaland before was, yeah, well, if, you know, if he's doing it in Germany.
Yeah, can't do it.
We won't be able to do it. And now it's like, okay, well, you couldn't do that in a worse league, could you?
Learn from Kevin De Bruyne.
I think where we could agree that if he played under Merson at Walsall, he maybe wouldn't score 60 goals. I mean, I think that's possible.
Maybe that's what he meant.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play him up front.
Perhaps we've done Paul a disservice there.
Yeah,
gentlemen, it was the FA Cup first round on the weekend, of course. Little call back to Friday's preview show where we mentioned Colville player Ashley Chambers, who said that his team would fly under the radar in their game against Charlton Athletic, as the Charlton players wouldn't know where Colville is. Charlton won the game 4-1. Chambers did get the goal, though, Vish.
Yeah.
What do you think? You wanted Charlton to batter them. Are you happy with that?
I mean, it was just a throwaway line. I didn't think they'd listen to me, but thank you, Charlton.
Yeah, they would have gone
easier.
Sorry,
Colville.
But nice for Chambers to score, though. Presumably went under the radar to get that goal.
Arguably, they flew too far under the radar. It's hardly even detected.
By the time they came up, they were 4-1
down. Exactly right, that's the
problem. DGS, did you see this? 7th tier Alva Church beat Cheltenham Town, who were 96 places above them. They won 2-1. Lovely old job. Hopefully they're still in the third round when that comes around. Excellent stuff. Oh, and one other bit of housekeeping, I should say, from last Friday's preview show. Tom has emailed in with a word of warning after we discussed a story about a bull moose which invaded a kids' football match in the States. Tom said, as someone who lives in moose country, a bull moose is more dangerous to you than a bear. Don't with a moose, Fish. Because you seemed a bit
sort really
of,
good.
I wasn't trying to fuck with it. I was trying to be friends with it.
Right.
Well, you know, the moose doesn't necessarily know what your intentions are.
And then we were going to go around.
You're going to wine and dine it.
No, we're going to go around
in this animal's friend zone.
I'm going to be here. Yeah, I'm going to be friends with
this animal.
Do the
old and I Emery.
And go around this part of America.
Do a half Emery. Full Emery, not necessary.
Yeah, okay.
It's only one moose.
I think we've heard enough. Let's have a break.
I'm not going to wank off a moose.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Played and yes! Winks can get it away. Lanzini!
Oh no! No, 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 no. Fuck, what sake. A goal.
Oh, yes, everybody. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Oh, good to have you. Good to have you with us, my goodness. Right now, you may have noticed an extra episode appear in your pod apps this morning where Luke Moore sat down for a chat with Rio Ferdinand. Two great centre-halves coming together. It's in partnership with Nivea Men and the UK charity Talk Club. They talk about men's mental health and what we can all do to have more open conversations about how we're feeling. It's a really important episode and Rio was very personable and open. So get that in your podcast apps, everybody. Well worth a listen. Right back to the Premier League, and we go to Aston Villa 3, Manchester United 1. Perfect start for Unai at Aston Villa. 2 goals in the first 11 minutes. Lars Sivertsen, what a performance. What an impact.
Yeah, terrific. You know, got off to a good start. United mm-hmm. looked a bit leggy, and yeah, good stuff for Aston Villa. I'm really enjoying the sort of... What is hopefully the proper sort of reawakening of Leon Bailey, who I had high hopes for because I've seen him quite a bit in the Bundesliga. And listen, he can be an inconsistent player, but he is someone who has a bit of everything. Like, he's really fast. He can really hit the ball very well. You know, he can go past people, you know, and just on his day, he can absolutely destroy you. And we just haven't seen that much of it at Villa. I don't think, didn't seem like Steven Gerrard fully trusted him. And he didn't really have a place in that side. But I think, you know, in the same way that, in a similar way to Miggy Albion up at Newcastle, for instance, I think there is that kind of renaissance to possibly come from Bailey if he can stay fit as well.
Yeah.
And he was very good in this game, I thought.
Yes, I mean, yeah. And Steve Bruce couldn't get the best out of Almiron, could he? But
No.
Seems that there is a player in there, after all. But yeah, it's interesting what you say, Lars, because about Aston Villa and certain players in the squad in general, we've talked about this, haven't we? About Villa have got a decent squad of players. They've got some good. I mean, Emery said, after the game, I was dreaming it with regards to the result. I was so happy. We have players with good skills. Mm. And he's right.
Yeah.
And you see that. You know, I think that's the frustration for fans. You know, certainly Pete, with regards to Newcastle on this show, just time and time again, it was like, okay, fine, look, we're not asking for much, but for crying out loud, get a better tune out of this lot. And Villa under Gerrard, it clearly wasn't, it evidently wasn't a match made in heaven, you know, when Unai Emery's come along, and obviously new manager bounce, blah, 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 blah. But try and unleash some of these players and get that creativity going.
Yeah, they're established players at this level who are comfortable at this level, who, I suppose, if you look at the whole squad in terms of players brought in as well above a certain age, they need, Aston Villa, the club, need Emery to fire straight away.
That's right. Mm. Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, by bringing in a manager who is good at working with what's put in front of him, I think that's, they've made a smart move there because, you know, people on certain wages, the idea that, you know, the drop off in certain positions is pretty stark. And it was interesting that, you know, Ings started on the bench as well. Yeah. I think like someone like Watkins, who is regarded as a bit more mobile, and certainly he was getting into pockets of space that United couldn't really deal with. And off the back of that, Bailey, you know, making great runs, and Ramsey, kind of Jacob Ramsey's. We've spoken about him in the show. We talked about him as a player, and then we stopped talking about him for about 3 months because didn't really know what he was doing.
Well, we stopped talking about all of them about 3 months, of course. Yeah. You know, and one doesn't want to stick the boot in, but it just didn't happen. You know?
Yeah, and he looks he really put the frighteners up a United midfield that weren't very mobile. Mm. I'm not entirely sure why Fred wasn't playing. I think this was a good example of how vital Bruno Fernandes is now. Obviously, there was that stage where he was trying to play hero passes all the time, but he seems to have weaned himself off that, and he helps United retain the ball a bit better, and they just weren't doing that.
I did think this was weird because I was looking at this game ahead of time thinking, well, no Bruno, but you know, they'll just stick Fred or McTominay in next to Casemiro and give Eriksen more freedom to go forward and it'll be fine. And that's not what they did.
No.
Instead, they played Van der Beek, who had not a great one.
Well, and Donny.
And just this whole front line, with apologies to Garnacho, who's very young, of course, and who looks promising, actually, but the sort of Van der Beek, old man Ronaldo thing, it's not great, isn't it? Though in fairness to United, you go away from home to a team that's just had a new manager, the place is buzzing, and they score with their first two shots in the game, one of which is a long-range free kick, and you think, geez, this is not a good day, is it? Like, it's just not happening for us here.
But then even for all the reasons you outlined, there did seem a bit of naivety in terms of how United came into that game, because you know they're going to be up for it.
Mm.
Like, especially the way that Gerrard left and the feeling around the club at the time, and the fact that they have, you know, a manager of a high profile, you know, let's not forget. It just seemed that you knew you were going to be run at, essentially. And also giving Ronaldo the captaincy as well.
Well, that was an interesting one, Jim. Ronaldo giving the captain's armband not long after storming off during the Spurs game at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
That does seem quite remarkable.
But did you hear Erik ten Hag's explanation of it?
Yeah, I wasn't having it.
But it wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement, was it? It was something like, De Gea's too tired. Yeah. Fernandez isn't about. Casemiro doesn't speak English well enough. Steve Bruce left ages ago. You know, like
Roy Keane.
Roy Keane's gone. Yeah, I suppose it's got to be him. I can't do it.
Yeah, I think
it's got to be someone.
Or another way of saying, well, hopefully this shuts him up for a bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Which is really what he said. But also as well,
can you put that around your mouth, please, Cristiano?
Yeah, I mean, Ten Hag was not happy with his team, of course, and questioned their sort of desire and passion, and then saying it was stupid to try and cross the ball in the way we did too quickly and too far out. And it did look like, you know, when England revert to that, we're getting pressed by a small talent. Yeah, we're a few weeks away. And they just start hitting it long and reverting to type.
Yeah.
It was almost like that with Manchester United.
I think there is a sense that actually this group of players, from what we know about it, and you know, the various leaks that have come out in the dressing rooms and the factions, and that this seems to have been a squad in recent years that hasn't really played for Man United in the way a Man United squad should. I think this sort of tough love is what they need.
Yeah.
I think that him sort of digging them out like this, because it's not like he's naming names, is probably useful, because the standards are too low, aren't they? That has been the problem for such a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but a great win for Aston Villa nonetheless, and they will be very, very buoyed by all that sort of stuff. And so they should be getting performances like that.
And it's the first time they've won in the league over Man United at Villa Park since 1995.
Yeah. Can't win anything with kids, can you? Well, if you've got Jacob Ramsey in your side, you can. A goal, assist, and an own goal. the imperfect hat trick.
Get into Leeds.
Yeah, absolutely right. There was a 5-goal thriller at the Molyneux. Brighton came out victorious. 3-2 they won against those Wolverhampton Wanderers. Big news, of course, coming out of the Wolves camp is that Julian Lopetegui will be taking over as manager on the 14th of November. Did they, I mean, they seem to sort of go crawling back to him, Jim, or something, or did he go crawling back to them? I don't know.
It's hard to say, isn't it? But it's a great appointment,
I think,
really.
Yeah, I mean,
if he's into it, which it seemed like he wasn't at first, but I think he's accepted his fate, hasn't he?
Are you worried that he might sort of leave just a few days before the World Cup? Like
but they tried to appoint him back in 2016, I think, as well.
Yeah, ages ago.
So yeah, they've been very keen on Lopetegui for a very long time.
This is a saga.
Yeah,
are we finally seeing the end of the saga? That not many.
Well, you hoped this would be at the beginning of a saga. Really,
is this the new Mara and Wanda?
Oh, don't start. But yeah, well, it's a big appointment. I think one can agree there. And it's something that's needed, of course, because Wolves are not doing too well. I mean, they lost the game. They're 19th, for crying out loud, of course. Good win for Brighton, though. They're back on the horse. They're sixth, for crying out loud. We were concerned about them. They'd lost 3 and 4 before back-to-back wins, and suddenly they're right up there pushing Manchester United for that Europa League spot.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're playing some fantastic stuff. It's nice to see to learn about who Mitoma is as well.
Yeah.
There's a new Brighton player now. I've heard of who's wicked.
There's a new Brighton player they're going to lose at the end of the season. He looks outstanding, doesn't he?
He does.
He's so composed.
Is he the most Brighton signing imaginable, though? Because he is a player who they've signed, who I think very, very few people would have heard of before, who was then loaned out to their feeder club so he could have a season of getting acclimatised and getting used to European football.
Because he's not that young, and he's 25.
And then being brought in to be, and is immediately very good and has cost them very little, and I'm sure they'll make a ton of money when they sell him on. That's like a full house with a Brighton signing.
Sure enough, it's a smart piece of business.
Yeah.
It's like Lovejoy in charge of them or something.
He's not talking about Tim, by the way.
It turns out there are good footballers in the Japanese league. That shouldn't surprise us.
What was Nelson Semedo doing on Mitoma, though?
Yeah.
Sending off. It was essentially a rugby tackle.
That was a bit. Maybe, I don't know.
Mad decision.
Yeah. Do you think Lopetegui would be a good appointment, Lars?
Don't know. I mean,
right, okay. That's enough of that.
No, being honest, I think in terms of pedigree. Listen, he did a very good job sort of early on in his career with the Spanish under-21s and did well at Porto, I believe, and obviously was on the road to something good maybe with Spain, and then things took a strange turn. And then at Sevilla, he's been perfectly fine. And it's really been one of those things at Sevilla that you feel he's been stitched up a little bit almost, because they've not had a good time of it this season, but then they sold both their centre halves in the summer and didn't really replace them very well. So there's a real sense that, especially with Sevilla, we're often talking about, without going full Brassel, when we talk about Sevilla, we always talk about the great Monchi, you know, the great sporting director who always puts together these great sides. Well, in this case, the great sporting director sold two of their best players, this rock solid centre half pairing. Mm-hmm. Didn't replace them very well, and a few months down the line they sacked the coach because the team isn't very good, which is like, hang on, this is not on me. But I think he's someone who has experience from a very high level, and with Wolves, you know, their players are too good for them to be in the position they are. And it's really weird with Wolves, because last season they finished like 10th and their numbers were actually terrible. This season they're terrible in the table, but their numbers are actually decent. So I suspect that with Lopetegui coming in, I think they'll rise.
Indeed,
he'll be the yeast in the bakery.
Well, Lars, one manager comes in, one manager leaves.
Yes.
Ralf Hasenhüttl has been sacked. While we've been doing this podcast, he has been sacked.
It's confirmed now, is it?
We would like to thank Southampton for doing that before we finish recording.
Yeah, it's good because there wasn't very little else to talk about this weekend football-wise. Yeah. Nothing went on. So yeah,
but Big Ralph, he's gone. Obviously, Southampton lost 4-1 against Newcastle. They've only got 12 points in their last 14 games. Only one win in their last 9. Of course, Hasenhüttl's been there for a few years, as managers go these days. You know, it's quite a long appointment, really. December 2018 saved them from relegation that season. They were top of the league 2 years ago. One can't forget, Jim, after a 2-0 win at home against the aforementioned Newcastle United. He told fans back then to believe anything is possible, which hasn't aged well, has it?
No,
because it was a different
also
season.
Anything.
I mean,
isn't,
we could get
anything
bashed 9-0.
Yeah, it's also
and then it'll happen again.
Anything isn't possible, so you shouldn't tell people that.
But I mean, it's a funny one with Hasenhüttl because I never felt, I suppose, until this season they would go down, and probably they or the board maybe felt the same, which is why they've now pulled the trigger, so to speak. But what, I mean, what do you think, Fish? It's sort of understandable, isn't it?
Probably about the right time to do it, given how things were going. It does seem, if you look at reports over the last like couple of months, maybe even just over the last month, actually, it does seem that he's lost a lot of the players as well, a lot of the players who were generally his allies all the way through this. Mm-hmm. I would also say that if you look at how he started, so what their best league finish under him was 11th. Mm-hmm. Semi-finals of the FA Cup 2021. And there's also the fact that in that period of time when he took over, he did very good things with that squad and then had to sell members of that squad and replace them with players from the Championship, essentially. Mm-hmm. From could never quite get the players that he actually wanted, certainly his first choices. And I suppose it's not too surprising that things have panned out this way because he's had to work with less and less. It feels like he's had to work with less and less each season.
Mm-hmm. It's a difficult model to get right, isn't it? It's kind of similar to what Brighton do, which is trying to sort of unearth these gems and make it work and have a high hit rate on those players coming in. And I think Southampton do deserve some credit for the fact that Hasenhüttl was there for nearly 4 years.
Yeah.
And they did give him a chance to try and get systems right and to try and work within those means. Because it takes time to build a team and an identity. And they were really lacking that when he came in. Did he replace Mark Hughes?
He did.
Yeah. So, I mean, how long ago was that deal?
Well, that's extraordinary when you say that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's obviously a shame for him and for them. And I think it's got to the point where it was only going in one direction. But, you know,
it just kind of felt like it had become a slightly loveless marriage.
I know.
There were quite a few leaks about him and the players being a little bit distant with each other.
Lacking spark.
Lacking sparky.
Well, yeah.
But I'm fairly confident that he's a good manager. I'm almost certain he's a good manager. I wouldn't be surprised if he, like, went to Germany and finished second in the Bundesliga with someone next season or something like this. Like, I'm sure he'll go on to do good work somewhere. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed like... Also, it's really to remember, there's been a change of ownership at Southampton, which people kind of forget because it's Southampton, so people don't talk about them very much. But there was a change of ownership earlier this year. There's always a little bit when new owners come in and the coach has been there for a while and it's maybe gone a bit stale with him and the players. You're on a little bit more of a tight leash then, I suppose.
Yeah. But I mean, look.
On a shorter rope?
Well, maybe. Mm. But after 14 games, they are in the relegation zone and they're one place above Wolves. And you rightly say that Wolves have got the players and maybe now the manager to get themselves out of that. Forest, you know, are up against it. But you look up the table, Bournemouth, we've talked about them.
Really good point, yeah.
But you've got Everton, West Ham, Leicester, Aston Villa, Leeds, Brentford, Palace, Fulham, and then you're into Liverpool, you know, you're into the top half there. If you're if you're on the board at Southampton, you might be looking around going,
who are we finishing above?
We need to gamble. We need to
gamble.
Good
thing, yeah. Sure.
Gentlemen, let's finish our Premier League roundup just quickly talking about Tottenham 1, Liverpool 2. Tottenham lost ground on Arsenal, Jim, with that loss. And Mo Salah's back scoring doubles and whatnot, which was nice to see. For Liverpool fans, I should say, I'm very much neutral. I'm one of those neutrals. I mean, they did survive a second-half fight back from Spurs, but it is their first away win in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, it's really surprising, isn't it?
Which is crazy. Klopp said after the game, "The win meant a lot today. I just let out a deep sigh." as the final whistle went.
Yeah, what a weird season they're having. Yeah. It's so up and down, isn't it?
It really is so up and down, stop, start, back and forth, any other kind of description you can think of.
The game reflected that as well. They were really good in the first half. And, they looked the better team, really. They seemed comfortable. The goals were really, really well taken. The second half, they seemed to be trying to ride it out the whole game. And obviously, if you let Spurs try and come back into it that way, they will because they've got that quality.
Especially given Spurs' record in the second half
of
the game this season.
An equaliser really felt inevitable, didn't it?
No, it did, yeah. Conte was really trying to get them going from the sideline, so much so you've seen going into the Liverpool technical area to slap a ball out of the assistant Pep Linders' hands, which he got a yellow card for. Whereas, of course, he'd be doing a bit of a Mikel Arteta because Arteta likes to roam outside of his technical area.
Do something about this man.
Much to the anger and frustration of the Right Honourable Richard Keys.
Yes, sorry, I've stepped on your punchline. No, 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 not it was, what he said.
Very much but... Keys punchline. I don't want to ever steal comedy from a fellow
from
human
the
being.
Great man. from who are you, James Corden?
Yeah, somebody stop this.
Two wanks of four.
If anyone should stay in their box.
Yeah, that's right. Very good, very good. But at least it got him out of the country. So, you know, well done for taking that hit for us, America. Conte wasn't... He seemed quite pleased with his team's performance, the passion and desire and the
aggression. They weren't that bad, were they?
I was going to say that's
the first half. They lost the game in the first half.
But that's the paradox.
Because you're man Eric.
I honestly didn't think they were that terrible in the first half either. I mean, that's kind of the paradox of Tottenham here. In terms of performance, I thought they were significantly better here than against both Bournemouth and Marseille. But of course, they didn't get the results. And there is something about the sort of the Eric Dier goof. I don't mind the Conte tactic of like sitting back quite a bit and trying to entice people in and trying to hit them. I think that's a perfectly legitimate way of playing football. Just the thing I wonder a little bit about the Spurs team is that in that defensive unit, I just think collectively they have too many mistakes in them for me to be comfortable that, because that's a way of playing that gives your defenders a lot of opportunities to mess up. Like when you're defending high up the field, you keep the ball away from them quite a lot of the time. Yeah. Whereas the way Conte wants to play, you know, you just give them a lot of situations they have to solve throughout the 90 minutes. And
you could apply this to Southgate's England.
Whichever configuration you
and I imagine
that,
we will.
Yeah.
But also Southgate's England don't have a Romero, do they? Mm. Who's basically the designated adult of that defence.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I forget the point you were making.
But they were better, I thought, in this game. I can understand why Conte wasn't too angry. They got into a lot of good positions. They put a lot of crosses in. And we should actually give some credit to the Liverpool defence, who have not, you know, always covered themselves in glory this season. They cope very well with all the crosses Tottenham put in, I thought. And also Darwin Nunez continues to be fun. And he reminds me, obviously a totally different player, but something I was sat in a press box once next to an international colleague. And one of the joys of knowing people from other countries is that they sometimes like translate idioms that doesn't make any sense in English. And he pointed to a player and said, yeah, in my country, we would say that he is like a blind horse. What? I think the player in question was the sort of slightly unhinged player, Roger Espinosa from Wigan. Slightly crazy player. But of course,
headless chicken.
Darwin Nunez, completely different, but the blind horse thing is good because he's like, he's so hustling and bustling. He's got so much good stuff going for him. But sometimes you get the sense that like no one knows where his next touch is going to end up.
Just need to harness it.
And I keep thinking with a guy like that who's got, you know, pretty fast for his size, he's strong, he moves around a lot, he gets into a lot of good positions.
Kicks very hard like a horse.
Inevitably the goals will come, right?
But
we've had Halloween now, it's kind of spooky. When I think that, I just hear this ghostly sound in the back of my head, which is Timo. I hear Timo. It's the ghost of Timo Werner, who also kept like getting into these sort of great positions, and it just never happened. So that would, I mean, it doesn't. But I still think at the end of the day, if Darwin Nunez keeps doing what he's doing, the goals will come, and many of them will come.
Could he win a Champions League like Timo Werner?
Exactly
did,
right.
I think he could.
Probably worth noting as well that Spurs should have had a penalty, right?
Okay.
Well, I think that's very clear. Another future ghost of the World Cup for me there.
I've already said it. Gentlemen, let's finish by going to the aforementioned America. The United States, of course.
The rogue colony.
Hey, your words, not ours. Los Angeles.
Listen, I'm a Viking, mate. Half of Europe are our rogue colonies if we go far enough back.
Well, and why not? But we're gonna go all the way back to the weekend because Los Angeles FC and Philadelphia Union played an amazing final.
It was great.
Quite frankly, it was 2-2 after 90 minutes. Then in the 117th minute, LAFC goalkeeper got sent off. Terrible injury to himself in the process. It was a red card. There's no two ways about that.
Out of the World Cup, unfortunately.
Yep. Very unfortunately, because Canadian, isn't he? Probably their second choice. But yes, he's out of the World Cup, which is a shame. He was taken away on a stretcher, so that meant there was 9 minutes of stoppage time. And playing against 10 men, Philadelphia Union, they thought they'd won the game in the 124th minute when Jack Elliott scored. After the subkeeper made a really good save, actually, and then the rebound was put in. And then, of course, in the 128th minute, who should pop up to get that equaliser to take it to penalties? Gareth Bale. Gareth bloody Bale. Apparently, the Philadelphia Union Twitter account tweeted after Jack Elliott scored, Jack Elliott is greater than Gareth Bale.
Swiftly deleted.
Wait till the full-time whistle for crying out loud.
The wrath of the whatever from high atop the thing.
Indeed, yeah.
It's and a harsh lesson for that Bale 22-year-old intern.
Bale scores a great header. And then, of course, LAFC keep a clean sheet in the penalty shootout with 3-0 with John McCarthy, the sub-goalkeeper, saving two pens.
Who's from Philadelphia, of course.
There you go.
The prodigal son of Ben.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah. What a game. Just watch the highlights. There's no point.
It was great. And also just the level. I mean, I think because when it was played, maybe some people actually in this country actually saw it.
Yeah.
And I think you'll agree with me. The level is quite good now of MLS. Like these are two very decent football teams. There's good tempo to it, and good play.
Yes.
And we've come a very long way with this league from where it was 10, 15 years ago. I'd say.
You hear that, MLS? Lars says it's good play.
It's a good play.
Didn't they do well?
Yeah.
I wonder, and I'm not a regular MLS watcher. I watch this because I've got family allegiance in Philadelphia. And I did wonder, just looking at those teams and others beyond them, if there's something about the way the league is played now or the structure of the league now that allows a bit more squad building. Everyone feels to have a bit more about them, and I'd be keen to hear from our American listeners.
Salary cap has gone up, and general allocation money, I think, helped as well.
I think it's fair to say that that David Beckham's job is done. He proved the
mission
league
accomplished.
Greatly. Absolutely right.
And Fizz is carrying it forward.
Indeed, yeah. And of course, David Beckham is a man who likes to talk up Qatar at the moment, much to his shame, quite frankly. That does lead us nicely to remind you that episode 1 of Inside the Qatar World Cup is out tomorrow right here on the Ramble feed. It will be very different to what you hear coming out of Beckham's mouth, of course, about the country, because we are less than 2 weeks away from the start of the World Ruddy Cup. But this is a very important listen, of course, as I'm sure you're all very, very aware. But do listen to it, though, because it's very insightful. And as we say, very, very important to get your ears around that lot. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Absolute pleasure having you with us. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lars Sivertsen.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you, Vitushan Hadaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.